The second reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. The reading can be found on page 969 in the Church Bibles, 969, or page 1715 in the large print version. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. A prayer. Heavenly Father, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us to the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So in our gospel reading this morning, Jesus makes two big statements about his disciples. Two statements that define what it means to be Christian. He says, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. Now, as Jesus has specifically applied these statements to his disciples, it's important that we try to understand them. What might they have meant to those first disciples, and what might they mean today to us as followers of Jesus Christ? So let's look at this first statement. You are the salt of the earth. Now, salt has been used in many cultures through history as a valuable commodity. The word salary comes from an ancient word meaning salt money, referring to a Roman soldier's allowance for the purchase of salt. And within the culture of Jesus' day, salt was used to preserve food. And then, as now, salt was used to improve the flavour of food. Now, knowing the cultural context is important, but it's also very important for us to understand the Jewish religious context, because Jesus was a first century Jewish rabbi teaching first century Jews. So how might they have understood salt from their Jewish religious perspective? Salt is mentioned often in the Old Testament. It's mentioned in the instructions for worship and sacrifice. From Exodus, make a fragrant blend of incense. It is to be salted and pure and sacred. From Leviticus, season all of your grain offerings with salt. Add salt to all your offerings. From Ezekiel, the priests are to sprinkle salt on them and sacrifice them as a burnt offering to the Lord. So salt seems to have been associated with sanctification, somehow making the offerings holy and acceptable to God. Now, salt was also associated with binding promises or covenants. For example, King Abijah's speech from 2 Chronicles mentions specifically a salt covenant. Don't you know that the Lord, the God of Israel, has given the kingship of Israel to David and his descendants forever by a covenant of salt? Who are the Jews? They are God's covenant people, a covenant made after God rescued them from Egypt, when God promised to be their God if they would be his people. So was Jesus reminding the people of their special role in the world? Salt was also associated with healing and purifying. Then Elisha went out to the spring and threw salt into it, saying, this is what the Lord says. I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive. and the water has remained pure to this day, according to the words that Elisha has spoken. Now, there are two occasions in the Old Testament where salt seems to be used negatively. In Judges, all that day Abimelech pressed his attack against the city until he had captured it and killed its people. Then he destroyed the city and scattered salt on it. And in Jeremiah, put salt on Moab, for she will be laid waste. Her town will become desolate with no one to live in them. Now, it would have been impossibly expensive to put enough salt on an entire land to render it infertile. So this scattering of salt may have been a symbolic act of judgment against those who oppose God. Or perhaps the victors were somehow trying to heal and cleanse the battleground, or perhaps even sanctify it as a thanksgiving offering for the victory. Now, we can't say for sure exactly what Jesus meant when he says, "You are the salt of the earth." But these are some clues to what he might have been meaning to the hearers and to us today. By describing his disciples as salt, perhaps Jesus is saying, we are to act as a preserving influence in our communities. We are to be a flavor enhancer. The world should taste better around us. Perhaps we are to have a sanctifying effect on the world around us, to purify it and make it acceptable to God. Maybe we're to be a reminder of God's judgment to those who oppose him, or to bring healing to the world around us. And maybe we're to be a reminder of the offer of a covenant that God makes to the world. So that's salt. What now of light? You are the light of the world. Now, the use of light as an analogy for Christ is a particular theme in John's Gospel. If we think back to the sermon series we did in the autumn, we learned a lot about how John used light in reference to Christ. Jesus is the light of the world, the true light, the light of all humankind, the light that has come into the world, but the darkness has not overcome it. And since his ascension, as the Apostle Paul says, we, Christ's church, are now his body and therefore his light in the world. Light speaks to us human beings at a deep level, doesn't it? Not enough sunlight and we can become physically unwell. Light is a comfort to us. It's a sign of life, of warmth, of welcome. For a weary traveller in a dark and dangerous land, seeing the lights of their destination ahead of them would have been a great encouragement and comfort. I wonder how many of us leave a downstairs light on when we go to bed if a family member is still out. So we are to live our lives individually and as a church, as a beacon of light, of welcome, of safety, of sanctuary. We are to be attractive. But we are also to be lights that illuminate. Like spotlights, we are to point to Christ and make him visible to the world. His love, his compassion, his mercy, his justice, his challenge to repentance. We are to point to Christ through the way we live, or more accurately, in the way we allow Christ to live through us. Because it's not our light that is shining, is it? But it's the light of Christ that shines through us. So we are to shine as an unmistakable presence for all to see, and we are to point to Christ for all to know. But this commission to be salt and light comes with an ominous warning. What good is salt if it's not salty? What good is light if it's hidden? The answer, obviously, is no good at all. Now, it's possible that some of the people who actually heard Jesus speak those words were alive 40 years later to experience the horror of the Roman destruction of Jerusalem and the enslavement of the Jewish people. Cast out of the land of Israel in AD 70 and trampled underfoot for the next 1900 years. So what sort of things can hinder us today as disciples of Christ from being salt and light in the world? I would suggest any choice on our part which blurs the distinction between Christ's church and the rest of the world. Any compromise of our faith for the sake of comfort, cowardice, or personal gain. Lukewarm discipleship, failing to live wholeheartedly for Christ. Today is the beginning of Fair Trade Fortnight, 2 weeks of the year where we highlight the need to be supporters of the people who produce the things that we eat, that we wear, as a normal part of our everyday life. When we do our shopping, are we careful about the things that we buy? I was buying some razors. I needed some razors yesterday. I was in Tesco's. I normally use the Bic plastic razors. Well, actually, I use the Tesco's because they're cheaper than the Bic plastic razors. But that razor lasts a week or two to shave, but I don't know how long it lasts in the oceans of the world, but it's hundreds of years. Small choices that we make to how we spend our money can have an amazing effect on the world around us. If we spend our money unwisely, then we can do untold damage to God's world. If we spend our money wisely, and it may cost us a bit more, but we can be that salt and that light and that example in the world. Only by remaining focused on Christ, being obedient to him and dependent on the Holy Spirit, can we remain salt and light in the world. In verse 16, Jesus exhorts us, "Let our light shine before people, so that they may see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven." Being salt and light in our communities not only brings peace where there is discord, healing where there is hurt, comfort for those who mourn, but most importantly, it brings glory to God. Our neighbours are looking at us and judging Jesus Christ by what they see in our lives. The good news, the gospel, needs to be evident in our lives. Our lives should be good news for those around us. We should be good news for our neighbours, our friends and families, our work colleagues. Now that's a heavy responsibility, isn't it? Do our lives, the way we live, bring glory to God? Now, if that's not daunting enough, Jesus' salt and light statements follow his warnings of persecution. "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Being obedient to Christ involves responsibility and risk. Ours is not an easy task. It's not a lightweight task. We are called to help Jesus make the world a better place. We are called to help Jesus change the world. We are called to be the healing and sanctifying salt of Christ in a broken and sinful world. We are called to be the attractive yet revealing light of Christ in a darkened world. Let me end with some words from Teresa of Avila, a 16th century Carmelite nun. Christ has no body now on earth but ours. No hands but ours, no feet but ours. Ours are the eyes through which the compassion of Christ must look out on the world. Ours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Ours are the hands with which he is to bless people for the good of the world and for the glory of God. Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, give us courage to be your salt and light in our community. Let nothing disturb us. Let nothing frighten us. All things pass. Patience achieves everything. You, Lord, do not change. With you we lack nothing. You are all we need. Let all that we do be for your glory. Amen.